It's a crisis of metaphysics. It's a crisis of ontology. It's a crisis of ethical and moral theory. It's a crisis in our understanding of God and religiosity, of theology and revelation. It's a crisis in the human soul and spirit. Let's discuss the topic, the crisis of modernity, the crisis of the West. So this is a theme that can organize several different authors. Now, let's think about what we're going to learn from it. On one hand, everybody has to have a sense of what is modernity. So what characterizes the modern age, the modern era, modern man, the modern mind? What was the world that it replaced? So how do we assess the pre-modern, the classical, or the world of antiquity? And what is the nature of the crisis? Is it a crisis of common rationality? Is it a crisis of religious belief? Is it that somehow things have degenerated and degraded because we no longer know who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, or why anything matters? Is it nihilism, relativism? What exactly is it? And then what's the way out of this crisis? Do we have to go through it, come out the other end in a certain sort of post-modernity? Can we pause it, freeze it, remain modern, but avoid the excesses of modernity that bother us? Or do we need to just reject the modern world and go back? So all of the authors that I talk about on this channel, Leo Strauss, Alexander Dugin, Martin Heidegger, Nietzsche, Schmidt, Evola recently, they all are concerned with this question. So it goes without saying for each of them that we are modern and that we are in a crisis. Okay, this is a pretty common basis for all of these thinkers. Now take Heidegger, for example. Heidegger sees modernity in terms of the history of philosophy, the gradual disappearance from our attention, as it were, of being itself, and the culminating stage in metaphysics that he calls nihilism. So our time in modernity is characterized by a certain sort of nihilism, which is the consequence of the history of metaphysics. In other words, it's a process that belongs to the history of philosophy. Heidegger, who stands at the end of that process, is a transitional figure writing about what he calls another beginning of philosophy, a new inception, overcoming modernity, overcoming this dark night of the soul by reconnecting with the sources of our tradition, not primarily in a literary way. In other words, he doesn't say we should just go read Homer until we are inspired to become Homeric heroes. He says by reflecting on the meaning of the history of philosophy, we can make ourselves open to, as it were, a new dispensation of being, roughly stated. Leo Strauss, when he looks at the crisis of modernity, he sees it as a crisis of rationality, a crisis of direction, a crisis that took place in the history of political philosophy, not through some destiny, like in Heidegger, the destiny of being is to culminate in nihilism and a transition to another beginning of philosophy. But in Strauss, modernity is a deliberate political project inaugurated by political philosophers for good reasons. So when Machiavelli writes The Prince and The Discourses, he fundamentally changes our attitude towards political things and our understanding of them compared to the classical alternative. And he does this for reasons that are possible to understand, even defensible to a certain extent, though ultimately Strauss is critical of the modern turn and argues that we should have the classics back on the table because they oriented their lives and understanding of things towards virtue, meaning excellence, both politically in the best regime and personally in the best way of life. So you had a telos, you had an orientation, you had a hierarchy of the human soul, you had something to aspire to, something to understand, and a more complete account of the human being and his potentials in antiquity, in the classical political philosophers, Plato and Aristotle first and foremost, than you have in the modern teaching, which, as Strauss famously argued, lowers the bar. It sets a low but more easy to hit ideal. So if the classics oriented themselves by excellence, virtue, the perfect man, something that is rare, then the moderns orient themselves by fear of death, desire for comfortable self-preservation, production, consumption, and things that you can pretty much count on more than you can count on aspiration towards excellence and perfection. And yet, for Strauss, as I say, there's a crisis of modernity. We can analyze that crisis. He's got a great essay called Three Waves of Modernity, which helps us to distinguish the various key moments within the modern period, and he writes a lot about the meaning of the classical alternative, in particular to repeat the problem of Socrates and the great lessons of Platonic political philosophy. Strauss is indispensable for us in trying to understand what it means to be modern and what we gave up when we became modern, what it's still possible to recover in terms of political rationalism, seeing and understanding political life clearly. Dugin, another figure who is critical of modernity, and he has various approaches to analyzing that crisis, sometimes through the lens of the traditionalists like Genon and Evola, sometimes through the lens of Heidegger, as I just mentioned. And in general, I would say Dugin is in some sense the most far-ranging, ecumenical, and multimodal critic of modernity, because he's willing to hit it both from the classical side, from the pre-modern side, from the world of antiquity, as well as from the postmodern side. And he really sets his aims on modernity and lets anything that is not modern come into the picture. Okay, Leo Strauss in his own way did this as well, because he focused on the medieval thinkers. Maimonides, he said that medieval rationalism is in some sense a culmination of Platonic political rationalism. So the medieval is not backwards for Strauss, it's advanced in terms of its understanding of political things. Modern man is advanced in terms of his understanding of science and technology, but medieval and classical man is advanced in terms of understanding the impact of science and technology on politics and all of that. Okay, so Dugin attacks modernity from the pre-modern and the postmodern angles. That's why sometimes you see him writing about Deleuze, for instance, or reading leftist authors and incorporating leftist themes into his thinking, not because he's a leftist, not because he's a deconstructive postmodernist, but because he believes that that tendency of thought, and I have a video on this, on Dugin's postmodernism, it frees up resources for the attack on modernity, and it frees up resources for the construction of a political theory that is non-modern, but not liberal, communist, or fascist, an important point for Dugin. But to go back to the main thing here, he is against modernity. Okay, so Dugin is an anti-modern thinker. Heidegger sees a crisis of modernity. Strauss sees a crisis of modernity. Okay, Evola, Genon, and the traditionalists, or Genon and the traditionalists, they see very openly, explicitly, and as their opening salvo, in some sense, that modernity is Kali Yuga. Okay, that whether we're talking about Descartes or Kant or Locke or Bacon, we're in a world here of gross materialism and somehow of, not always and only of materialism. Okay, you're not going to accuse Kant of being materialist in this sense, but a sort of psychic schism and a world that no longer is related in a meaningful and well-integrated sense to transcendent domains, realms, values, and aspirations. All right, so crisis of modernity. Another good thing about this topic of the crisis of modernity is that it combines two themes that, in my opinion, and in the opinion of these authors, it is profitable to combine. So on one hand, it's the realm of the political. So in many respects, we see the crisis of modernity in political circumstances. You know, you look around and you see, what are the schools teaching? What are the politicians doing? What's happening in parliaments and senates? You know, how come everything seems so degraded, seems so low? So you get a lot of evidence in politics for this crisis. But at the same time, the deepest root of the crisis is always trans-political. It's always more than just mere politics. It's a crisis of metaphysics. It's a crisis of ontology. It's a crisis of ethical and moral theory. It's a crisis in our understanding of God and religiosity, of theology and revelation. It's a crisis in the human soul and spirit. And so the theme, crisis of modernity, allows us to combine in a very profitable way our interest in the political realm and the manifestations of that crisis in political life. So it's down to earth, it's real, it's concrete, it's practical, and it affects you. You can see it, you can understand it. And it takes us into that deeper dimension that really concerns what it means to be human, what it means to be. Who are we? How much does it matter whether we are soulless automata or whether we are somehow divine sparks on earth with a mission, a task, a purpose, and a fundamental significance? So that's what I wanted to say to you briefly, that this general topic of the crisis of modernity is a very useful one. In other videos or maybe in live streams, we can go into detail on some of the readings. So for example, in this book by Leo Strauss, The City and Man, you have an introduction which talks about the crisis of our time, the crisis of the West, and which explains from Strauss's point of view, how to make sense of that, why it should concern us, and why the right way to address it is to turn to the authors he studies in this book, Plato, Aristotle, and Thucydides. You know, or we could pull up passages in Dugin that show how he deals with that problem. But I wanted to give you a high-level conceptual overview of this theme, crisis of modernity. It's something that is all throughout the courses I teach at millermanschool.com, which includes these authors and several others like Rabbi Soloveitchik, Carl Schmidt, Arthur Moeller Vandenbroek, someone you may not know or have heard of yet. Crisis of modernity, think about it. Let me know what you think. What is it? Moral crisis, spiritual crisis? Is it because there was a secularization? Or was it because there was a new religious teaching? So this book I've shown recently on my channel, The Theological Origins of Modernity, argues that modernity is not fundamentally characterized by secularization, but by a revolution in religious teaching. So that the nominalist revolution in the Middle Ages is what set the first domino in place for modern liberalism, modernity, the contradictions of modernity, incidentally a thesis that Dugin also holds in his Great Reset book. So what is the crisis in your opinion? How do we make sense of it? And is the crisis of the West a global crisis? Is there still a meaningful pocket of non-Western thought and existence that is spared from the movements of Western man and from the movements of the Western mind? Or is the whole world implicated in Westernism, Westernization, and modernization? These are deep, interesting, and rewarding themes to pursue. I'd love to know what you think. If you want to know more about what I think, subscribe to the channel and definitely check out the courses at millermanschool.com. They're all about this topic.